Well, good morning, and
good morning.
Yeah, welcome to another service from Unity Center of Light, from our home to your home. We're doing a very special service this morning, a Mother's Day. And so for those YouTubers who are out there who will be watching this, we say happy Mother's Day to all of you. And again, if you're not in the Zoom session right now, you can still join the session. Hopefully you have gotten the notice that's on YouTube to come and join us. So we're going to get started with, I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. Now we will have the daily word for today, Sunday, May the 9th. The phrase is motherly love, and the affirmation is, I give thanks for motherly love. God's perfect love expressing through my mother gave me life. God's love, wisdom, and strength guided her and all those who nurtured me as I grew. My words of praise and gratitude let me show my mother how much I appreciate her. When I wish to demonstrate my appreciation for my mother's example, I share the nurturing motherly love of God in my words and actions with all people. Remembering the times when my mother or another compassionate person listened patiently and shared encouraging words, I seek to be a caring, supportive presence. Recalling my mother's joy each time I learn something new, I share my skills and knowledge willingly when someone seeks my help. In gratitude, I share the gift of nurturing love. And the scripture is Isaiah 66:13, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you.
All right. And now we are honored to have our Mother's Day service delivered by our own Christine Harper.
This is where you all go like this.
Woo!
And are you spotlighting her, April?
Good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day to those of you who decided to serve. In the traditional Black church, the two most popularly attended services are Easter Sunday and Mother's Day. I happen to remember Mother's Day as the day that my grandmother would guilt us into coming across town to her church to go to church with her. So I don't know if any of you remember that, where people really dressed up. Well, I'm glad to see that here at Unity Center of Light, those of us who wanted to be here showed up. And I must have really wanted to be here because I live in Los Angeles now and it's 7:34. So, and I'm dressed and all ready to go. So I really love this place. Feel that. Mother's Day was a day that was established as a way of honoring the sacrifices and the dedication that mothers have made for their children. And it's an American holiday, so it's kind of another one of those made up holidays. But it is a beautiful day to set aside the thought of honoring your mother. The funny thing is that we're bombarded with all of these sentimental images of wonderful mothers and perfect dinners and flowers and candy and Hallmark greeting cards. And I know that some of us don't have that type of memory with our mother experience. I will tell you, I had the best mother. We're not going to argue about it. I had the best mother for me. And actually, each of us has the best, had the best mother for us, because you chose to come through that particular woman. And that was the experience that you chose. And that's the experience that God chose for you. And it was perfect. Once I talked to the Unity Center of Light staff and decided or agreed to take on the responsibility of giving the talk today, I really had to stop and go, what the heck, what did I sign up for now? I had to stop and think, which way am I going to take this? So for the past couple of weeks, I've been doing what's called a cleaning ritual of Ho'oponopono in order to bring up whatever I needed to share about my mother experience, both as a mother and also with the mother that I had. How can you know what's going to come up? You don't. But it's interesting, when you focus and pray and meditate on a thing, you will learn what you need to learn. The prayer that we hear often that Butch shared with us is, heal in me that which needs to be healed, and reveal in me that which needs to be revealed. It works. Now, my mother, she really was special. And like I said, she was the best for me. She was the kind of person who did not stand by if she saw an injustice, something that was unfair, especially when it related to children, and not just her children, but all children. That is why I believe once I was out of the house, she had plenty of space and she opened her heart and her home to become a foster mother. It's interesting that just last week I heard that this month is also National Foster Care Awareness Month. And I thought, wow, that must be something that I need to share with my peeps. Because I didn't know that, but it's just very, it's no coincidence that I needed to know that there are many people who serve as foster parents, and we need to recognize them also. I often wonder, you know, how many people did my mother really help as a foster parent? She had several young people, mostly teenagers, come through her home, live with her. But when she passed and I was going through her papers, I saw a certificate where she had been giving classes in the community to help adults navigate the foster care system, to help them understand what resources were available. So I bring that up because sometimes what we think we know about our mothers, it's actually limited. You know, what you see is this particular purview, but our mothers are so much more individuals that you may not be fully aware of. So my mother helped dozens of children and adults navigate the New York City schools foster care system. And she also worked during her retirement years. She worked at Megar Evers College in Brooklyn, where she helped young people who were trying to get their degree, trying to get their first degree. So this was a woman who was always willing to reach out and help others, especially in the area of education, but also in the area of life. I'm going to share with you three things that my mother said that stuck with me. Now, yes, she said a lot more than three things and gave a lot more advice than that. But there were three particular areas that I wanted to highlight and share with you today. There was a one of the things I read said that a mother's standards can really uplift the world, and they can change the world. So I'm going to share with you three of those things. The first one is get up early and get it done. As an adult, I truly appreciate this. As a kid, I hated it. It just felt like as soon as you fell asleep, she was calling your name. Come on, time to go. This getting up early thing applied to every area of our life. Get up and be on time for school. Be on time for your part-time job. Get up early and get it done. If you have to run errands, do it early when the crowd is, there aren't as many people out and about so that you can accomplish what you need to accomplish. As an adult, getting up early is the time that allows me to be still and be quiet with the Creator. So it's not a new thing for me. It's just something that I've grown up with and it sticks with me and I see the value in it. The second thing was count your change before you leave the register. Now, you know, looking around at the group, most of us remember the time when count your change was not done on a calculator or Cash App or Apple Pay. Count your change was done in your head. The purpose of doing that before you leave the register is to understand what is due you. As a person, as a mother, she wanted us to recognize as individuals what was due us in life. And the only thing that was due us is what we understood and what we worked toward. So counting my change before I left the register seemed okay, yeah. But when I came home and I didn't have the right change, it wasn't a good thing. When you go back to the store an hour later and try to explain to the man what happened, they don't want to hear that. So it's a good practice to know what is due you when it is due, and then expect that. But you have to have a certain amount of sharpness about you in order to do that. You have to understand some basic arithmetic, but also you have to have a willingness to be correct. And some people are not willing to do that. They're willing to settle for being mediocre. Not in my house. That was not accepted. The third thing my mother imparted on me that sticks with me is choose to smile. Every time you walk out of this house, you have an option. You can be negative, you can be nasty, or you can put a smile on your face. And whatever you put out, you are going to be attracting. So be prepared to deal with, be prepared for the consequences that come about from how you interact with other people. Everybody always commented on my mother's smile. She was warm and welcoming and inviting. And this is probably why there always seemed to be a lot of people in my house when I came home. She just always, people gravitated to her. And I think part of that, or the main reason, is that she chose to smile. She chose to be positive and show that side of her face to the world. So those are three things that my mother gave me, and I'm really proud to share them and to keep them in my life. But now I want to give you something. One of the things that is very clear for anyone who is a parent, you know that kids listen to a small percentage of what you say, but they're always watching what you do. I would watch my mother, and something that I observed that had an even bigger impact than what she said was the fact that our home had a lot of books and we got magazine subscriptions. This might seem minor to you, but when the 17 magazine came in the mail, I was just tickled. I was like, wow, it's a gift. I just keep getting it every month. And it was interesting to me. My mother made sure that we found things that were interesting by taking us to the library and allowing us to look around and pick the books that we wanted, and then to learn from that. So what's the message there? The message is not that she took the time to walk us to the library when we were too small to go ourselves, but that it instilled the idea of ongoing learning. It instilled the appreciation for asking questions and being curious and finding out what stimulates your mind. And that's a good thing. One of the other things I remember from watching my mother is that when she came home from work, when she came home from work every day, before she did anything else, she would stop and make herself a cup of tea. Now, after an 8 or 9 hour workday and then riding the smelly New York subways, she came in the house, boiled some water in a kettle, and made herself a cup of tea. Very diligent, very deliberate. She would watch the tea brew because she didn't want it to be too strong. She liked it a certain way. She might add a little milk and sugar, and she would sit down and enjoy her cup of tea. Why is that significant? Well, now we're all running around here talking about self-care, but I observed my mother taking care of herself in a way that I didn't understand and I couldn't appreciate at a young age. It's important that we as mothers model for our children that we matter. Take good care of yourself, set boundaries. If sitting and having a cup of tea and just being quiet for a while is, you know, if that turns you on, do that. But find some way to demonstrate to yourself and to your children that caring for yourself is important. And that really stuck with me. Now, last week, one of the things that Butch said was, he quoted Steinbeck, a kind of light spread out from her. And when he said that, I could just see my mother sitting there after her tea and how she just, you know, she became very calm and then was able to handle everything else that needed to be handled in the home. So what's my gift to you? Well, during the past couple of weeks, I have been reading and researching more on the process of Ho'oponopono. And I know we've talked about this before. It's the Hawaiian practice of forgiveness. In thinking and reflecting more on my mother, who again, she was the perfect mother for me, I know that I wasn't always the perfect daughter. I know that I didn't always act in the best character. I assumed she doesn't know what she's doing. Like the time I came home with the incorrect change and Cheetos on my lips. And she said, where's the money? Oh, he made a mistake. He must have given me the wrong amount. She didn't say anything though. And that, it's interesting what that'll do to a child because you think, oh, she doesn't know I'm getting away with something. Oh, she knew. It came back, it came up in another discussion. It was also very interesting because I can recall coming home from college and suddenly thinking that was the year that I thought I knew more than my mother. I'm sure some of you have gone through that as well. You think that because you had the schooling or you read the books or you talked to the genius, the PhD, that you know more than mother. But let me assure you that she had a layer of intelligence, and because of her life experience, she added wisdom and inspiration from God. And that made mother have a lot more wisdom and knowledge than you would believe. Very important point for me. When I think about mothers, of course, because I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school, I think about Mother of Jesus, Mary. And in Catholic school, there are two prayers that you learn very early on. The first is the Lord's Prayer, but second is called the Hail Mary. And that was always an enigma for me. Like, why do we pray to Mary? And when I researched it, it was interesting to me that it was kind of intuitive because we pray to Mary because Mary was the example of a woman who, in modern terms, totally channeled God. She totally was in tune with what God had asked her to do, what her purpose was on this earth, and she walked it, she lived it. So when it's our turn, when we have some confusion, when we think we need some help, when we can't throw the football in the right direction or the right length, we do what we call a Hail Mary. And we do what we call a Hail Mary. And it's very interesting to me that so many people follow that thought process of praying to a deity. I suggest to you, and what I do in my practice is, I also pray with my mother. While I'm not sure that my mother walked all of her divine purpose, she was not perfect as a person, but she was perfect for me. I know that in the afterlife, my mother is there, would not steer me in the wrong direction. Anytime I ask for something or I pray for calmness or forgiveness or whatever, I invoke the spirit of my mother. Because just as others pray to Mary, I'm praying with my mother. One thing that's different in my prayers or my communication with my mother now that she is deceased is that my ego doesn't have to get all tangled up in the relationship. I don't have to go toe to toe with my mother anymore. What you know, what I know. She knows everything now. She knows all about me. Whew. Take a breath on that one. She's always loving me. She always was and still is. Okay, let me go. Let me read for a minute so that I can breathe. From the NSRV, John chapter 2, the wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Now I'm going to stop there. Most of us know what happens next in that story. One of the great miracles, Jesus turns water into wine, happened. But what if Jesus had stuck with his first mind and said, wait a minute, talk to the hand. What does that have to do with me? And how many times have you done that with your mother or with your God? You are inspired to do something and you say, hold on, I'm not in charge of food and beverages here. I'm not going to get more wine. I guess Jesus also had an ego because that was his first reaction. But after he paused, he took in or he received what his mother saw in him, what his mother knew he was capable of, and he performed the miracle. Each of us can do the same in our own way. Take the inspiration, take the belief that your mother has in you, had in you, and act on it intelligently, but with wisdom. I use that story because I want to keep reminding myself what is my job to do as a mother. Sometimes we think we've got all the answers because we've done that before. I've seen that. I know how to get there. I know how to apply for the mortgage. We don't have to try to force our children to do things our way. Part of our responsibility on this earth as mothers is to stop, have your cup of tea, and be inspired by the divine. Allow God to speak through you and then give the proper guidance to the children, not just to tell them what to do. When you were a small child, you ran to your mother anytime something was wrong. Oh, I skinned my knee. Oh, I can't find my socks. Now as an adult, run to Mother, Father, God, and you will be able to draw on the same type of never-ending, undeniable love and support. Now I'm going to turn to the Ho'oponopono process that I was talking about. As I said, it's defined as a cleaning or a cleansing, particularly in family conflicts in Hawaiian culture. It's a time when the family comes together and there is discussion of the issue, there's confession, repentance, and forgiveness. Now, the process of Ho'oponopono is really four steps, and it's four very simple steps. What I'd like to do is try to explain the steps briefly. And again, there are courses on this and books on this, but I'll explain the steps and then we'll practice it. You receive that? Yes? Okay. The first step in Ho'oponopono says, I love you. In that step, you make a connection with the divine by expressing your love. Not your love when you get the new car, not your love if God gives you the perfect mate, but you express your love because you are. And this is what God gives to us, unconditional love. Step two, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what? I didn't do anything. It's what you're probably thinking. Well, I'm sorry for not recognizing all of the love that the universe was giving me. all of the divine messages that were being sent through my mother and that now I receive directly. I'm sorry for not paying attention to what I need to pay attention to. Step three, please forgive me. I'm being specific and clear and asking the universe to forgive me for being unconscious. And that has flowed into maybe specific things that you've done, but please forgive me for being unconscious and not recognizing this gift, this beautiful gift of life, all the sacrifices that were made for me. And the final step is to say thank you. At this point, you go into a sincere state of gratitude. Thank you, God, for all that has been given me. Thank you, God, for all that has been given me. So now let's practice. I'd like for you to hold your mother in your mind. And there's probably something that you wish you had done differently in your relationship with her. And just repeat after me. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you. Take a deep breath and let that soak in. So this is a process that we've talked about forgiveness before. It's something that you don't do once, you do many times, and it's a cleansing. It's a cleaning. It's a clearing of the debris that has built up and made you think, oh, I didn't have a good relationship with my mother, or she wasn't very kind, or whatever it is you think negative that's blocking all the flow of good that the universe has for you. Use that or any other way of asking for forgiveness on a regular basis. For those of you who still have your mothers with you, use this day to cherish her. If you can't be with her physically, make a phone call, spend some time communicating with her, learning some of her wisdom. For the rest of us whose mothers have gone on to the next dimension, today I invite you to stop and have a cup of tea in honor of your mother. No verbal words. Don't talk to anyone. Just talk in your mind with your mother. It's when we are still and we know that we allow God's divinity to flow through us. I thank you all for being here. She's here. Thank you. Peace and blessings.
Wow, Christine. That was just absolutely incredible. Wow, thank you for sharing that. I don't know about anybody else, but I took notes. Wow, that was so awesome. Thank you, Christine. Now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Now let's jump gently close our eyes and relax. This is our time to get in touch with spirit in gratitude for all that has been done in and through us. Let's take three deep cleansing breaths in and out, helping our bodies to become even more relaxed. Feel yourself being lifted to that secret place of the highest, the special place of love, peace, joy, and faith. And be prepared to let go now any emotional, mental, or physical baggage that is weighing you down and not serving you. Please take the following words as your own. I enter the gate of this sacred space and take a seat, settling down in the truth. God is here, but only good can come to me. I prepare to let go of all things no longer serving me. Today on Mother's Day, I honor the Divine Feminine by calling forth 12 holy women of the Bible, each with a particular quality that helped her to effectively serve God. Today, I call forth the joyfulness of Miriam, the charity of Sarah, the courage of Queen Esther, the love of Ruth, the persistence of Rachel, the strength of Rebecca, the service of Elizabeth, the faith of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the loyalty of Mary of Bethany, the hospitality of Martha of Bethany, the commitment of Mary Magdalene, and the generosity of the Samaritan woman at the well. I have within me the qualities that are represented in honoring the Divine Feminine. I need only to call them forth, get in touch with them, and claim them as my own. Now in this spirit, let us take a breath and release and be in the silence together. We are grateful, Holy Spirit, for all these blessings that continue to flow into our lives. May we forever remember the Divine Feminine that exists in us all. In the name and nature of Jesus Christ, we say, Amen. So it is, and so it shall be. Ready? Open your eyes and come back to your surroundings.
All right. So where are we? Okay, good. All right. Well, again, wonderful lesson from Christine. Thank you so much for that. Wonderful meditation with Pamela.
Oh, I got a poem.
Okay. And now you are going to do a poem.
I'm going to read a poem. The author is unknown, but it's an ode to mothers. I think God took the fragrance of a flower, a pure white flower, which blooms not for world praise, but which makes sweet and beautiful some bower. The compassion of the dew, which gently lays reviving freshness on the fainting earth and gives to all the tired things new birth. The steadfastness and radiance of stars, which lift the soul above confining bars. The gladness of fair dawns, the sunset's peace. Contentment, which from trivial rounds ask no release. The life which finds its greatest joy in deeds of love for others. I think God took these precious things and made them into mothers.
Right. Hey, Pamela?
Yes, I'm going to share some memories of my mom and my grandmother. And I know we are strapped for a little bit of time, so I'm going to make this kind of quick. As Christine mentioned, the origin of Mother's Day, Anna Jarvis, following her mother's death in 1905, conceived of Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers made for the children. Her persistence paid off in 1914 when President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday of May as Mother's Day. Mother's Day is known for celebrating all the mothers in your life, whether they are your biological mother, grandmother, a mother figure, and more. This day is meant for celebrating all their hard work and dedication to being a mother. Now, I do understand that perhaps everyone did not or does not have a good memory of their mother. However, there is always someone you can think about that supports you and loves you and nurtures you. My relationship with my mother was very loving. Not to say if I did not obey her and do my chores as expected, she would not be angry or upset. My mom was a West Indian mom. She would make sure that we all did what we were supposed to do. Mom was born in Cuba, but after the age of 7, my grandparents then traveled back to Jamaica with her and lived there until she married my dad and traveled to England where my siblings and I were born, 3 girls and 1 boy. Mom was happy around us and had high hopes for our success in life and in school. Neither of my parents had a college education. Both my parents wanted the best for us. The opportunities in England were not that great. The decision to move to America became a reality. My grandmother always lived with us in England as well as in New York. Because I was the eldest child, I had the responsibility for my siblings at an early age. My mother and father both worked, and so I had to make sure that the dinner was started before my mom got home from work. Basically, my home life was good, but my parents were very strict, and I rebelled many times. In my later years and since being in Unity, I realized that my mom did the best she knew how at that time. Dealing with the 4 of us was not easy. We were very unruly kids and tried to get away with a lot of things, even when we knew it would result in not sparing the rod and spoiling the child. My grandmother lived with us until her passing. My grandmother was always in the kitchen with mom cooking something delicious. I watched my mother take good care of her. Mom also enjoyed having her live with us. Even in the worst times when my grandmother was very ill, mom took great care of her. There was never a thought of her being put into a home. I watched and learned as mom did things that came so naturally to her when it came to caring for her mother. After Butch and I started our family, and as they were growing, we knew firsthand how hard the parenting role could be. I remember on an occasion of driving to New York to visit my parents, I said to my mother, "Mom, I get it now." Mom passed away from the complications of Alzheimer's in 2002. She was in a nursing home close to our home, so I saw her every day. Today, I think of my mother with love, with gratitude and appreciation for what she taught me about being a loving, accepting, and forgiving human being. We are all God's children, and however we may have rebelled and turned away from our life teachings and frequently act as if this loving power within us barely existed or not at all, we have a God with a motherhood within us. This means that the presence soothes, relieves, cleanses, and emancipates. How foolish it is to cut ourselves adrift from the God who made all mothers and can do far more for us than the best and holiest mother is capable of doing. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, hon. That was great. Wow. All right. What are we up to?
Offering blessing.
And then lighthouse. Okay. All righty. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal lives to flow into our spiritual home. I will say the prosperity prayer first, and then ask you to say it with me.
The offering blessing.
I'm offering blessing. Thank you. Okay. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we have a few minutes just to open it up if anybody has anything they want to share. This has been a wonderful expression of mothers in our lives.
Don't forget to raise your mechanical hand if you want to share. And while we're waiting for somebody, I'd just like to say thank you to Christine for not only the reminiscences, but the reminders about how our mothers continue to be our teachers too, wherever they are.
Yeah, that was really incredible. All right, everybody's being shy, okay. So, Pamela, you wanna do light notes? Yeah.
Please join us each Wednesday at 4 p.m. for a 15-minute prayer pause. During that time, we go within and reconnect with spirit and one another. We use silence, contemplation readings, affirmative prayers, and more. We shift our focus from the chaos of the outer to the peace of God within. The link is in your weekly update. The Book Light Book Club's next book discussion for June 13th is called Begin Again by Eddie Glaude. The group meets from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Please see the link in your updates. On Sunday, June 20th, Father's Day, we will have our Summer Music Sunday. So mark your calendars for a morning of great music to celebrate the divine masculine in all fathers and father figures. Now, April has an announcement about her upcoming booklet discussion.
So I just wanted to remind you guys that starting this Wednesday, we're going to be having our Wednesday discussion group on a new booklet called Messages We Need to Hear. And it's based on the writings of, and Pamela, I always space her name out. Remind me again who it is. Messages We Need to Hear from?
Martha Smock.
Thank you, Martha Smock. She was the editor of Daily Word for many years, wrote many articles, and really is a bright light and has some very powerful reminders that may have been written a very long time ago, but are very much applicable to what we're going through these days. So the booklet is free. You can get it at unity.org, or the link to download it is in the weekly update that Patty sends out. And we hope you'll join us. Anybody's welcome.
All right. Okay, so are we at the end? So we're at the end. Again, Christine, thank you for giving me a day off and doing such an incredible job. That was really, really heartwarming and really inspiring too, in terms of things that we can take away. Yeah, I see Horace clapping over there. Things we can take away and begin to implement in our lives that we haven't been doing already. All right, so let's do our Bless the Path. You gonna take through that, sweetie?
Yeah. So let's bless the path that we each will walk this week. We'll say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right, and let's go to our love song and prayer for protection.
Thank you.
All right. So we are recording this and we're going to put this up on YouTube if you want to listen to Christine's talk again and take more notes like I did. All right. And thank you, Mary Bogle, for your nice long. These were such lovely messages and reminders to be grateful for our mothers who gave us life, gave life to all. If you haven't read her chat is really wonderful. Thank you, Mary, for sharing that. All right. Okay. Deidre. All right. Lots of nice chats. Let me just save that chat. All right. So we finished early. All right. I don't know what you guys are doing for Mother's Day. Alfred, I'm cooking for Pamela. What are you doing, Alfred?
He's going to his mom's.
Oh, I'm eating for Misha. That's a compliment to her.
Right. All right. Well, everybody enjoy your Mother's Day and we will see you next time. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Call me, April.
Okay.